Welcome to the Girl Dad Show, a professional parenting podcast. Each month, I interview entrepreneurs, leaders, and professionals who are balancing parenthood, life, and profession in the hopes to learn what it takes to be an amazing professional parent. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Girl Dad Show. Today, I had Connie joining me today after probably over a decade since I've seen her. I used to work at Starbucks, and I remember fondly for coming in and being a regular of mine. And then, perchance, she ended up being a coworker with my sister, and we get to talk a little bit about that origin story of our relationship. But she's currently working at Headspace as a vice president of marketing, and she talks a lot about her journey and her family's journey in parenting, and talks a lot about how she sets her values and expectations for her kids, and how she works on something that's very, very near and dear to her heart, and working in mental health and helping people be happier. And I think you're going to really enjoy the show, and I'm really excited for you to check it out. Connie, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast today.
Young, thank you for having me. So excited to see you after so many years.
That's right. I'm trying to figure out how long it's been. I feel like it's been quite a few years. I feel like it's been almost 6 years or so since we've actually seen each other or talked to each other. Maybe even longer.
I think that's right. Maybe longer. I met you when I first moved to the Bay Area, I think 15 years ago.
That's so funny. We should actually talk about that for a second, because I actually still think I remember your drink. I want to say maybe it changed, but I want to say it was a grande non-fat caramel macchiato.
It used to be. I've changed okay. It since then, but you have a very good memory.
That is hilarious. We definitely got to unpack that story for the listeners, but for just to get us going though and introduce everybody, do you mind sharing with the listeners what you do for a living?
Yeah. So I currently lead enterprise marketing at Headspace Health. So I have the privilege every day of working for a company whose mission is to transform mental health care to create a happier and healthier world. So, very aspirational and wonderful mission.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a really, really important facet, especially these days. I mean, it's always been important, but even more so now, right? Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things that's just like haranguing everybody across all spectrums and yes. All across the country even, right? Just like, it's been such a weird, weird, weird climate, both domestically and everywhere, you know?
It has been, for sure. And I you know, have a pretty personal journey to coming to a mental health care company in that I worked at LinkedIn prior to this for 11 years. I've only been at Headspace for 5. But a couple years ago, now it's 5 years ago, between my first child and my second child, I went through 3 miscarriages. And it was incredibly difficult on my mental health. And I come from a culture where looking for mental health care is stigmatized. If you go and seek out a therapist, there's something really wrong with you. That was how I grew up. And so it was not until I was in a really, really dark state after having gone through those miscarriages that I went through and sought out a mental health care professional. And it was life-changing because I think it really helped me like process my grief and right. relearn like who I was if I wasn't someone who was able to have children potentially again. I think that's the reason I came into mental health care. And so there's a lot of people around me now who have stories like that.
Yeah. And I think it's like really awesome that you're sharing that story, because I've actually heard this through a couple of other friends and clients and stuff. And almost across the board, everyone doesn't share it. Mm-hmm. The majority of people, even this day, don't share it. And so it's one of those things that's really interesting, because when you actually like research it, it's actually a lot more common than we may realize. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we don't share it, it's such a strange thing, because it's such an emotional thing to go through.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but that's really, really, really weird for me to like learn that, you know, the fact that the statistics of this happening is so high, but societally we just like kind of shove it down, you know?
Yeah. And I, that, you know, when I was going through this and I started telling people what I was going through, so many people that I knew for a long time were telling me they went through the same experience. But to your point, I had never heard those stories until I started sharing mine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I'm glad you're doing it. And thank you for sharing with us today. That's awesome. And I love that journey and the origin story to Headspace and into Mental Health Company. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I know you kind of dabbled into it, but do you mind sharing with the listeners about your kids? How many do you have and how old are they?
Yeah. So I have two kids. My son, Aiden, is 7, almost 8. He'll be 8 in September. And then my daughter, Amelie, is 4.5.
Awesome.
And I can't believe that my son is almost 8. 8 feels like a milestone moment. I will admit, he started first grade last fall, and I shed a tear on that first day. And Aiden is just the kindest, most thoughtful kid. He is, if he sees that I have a little bit of emotion or about to shed a tear, he's like the first kid who will come over and give me a hug and make sure I'm okay. So sweet. And just very observant, I think, of how people are feeling and what they're sensing. And he's really into sports. Like, he will play any sport, any ball you put in front of him, he will play with.
That's awesome.
He's super into sports. So basketball and soccer are his sports right now. He's also really into graphic novels. And I've discovered there are a lot of graphic novels now. Like, I did not know if that was a thing when I was growing up because I wasn't into them. But he's read, like, every series of graphic novels. And then my daughter,
what is that? Is that like comic books? What is that?
They're not comic books, young.
I've never even heard of this concept. I'm like, what the heck is a graphic novel?
They are comic books. But okay. I think comic books like undersells what they really are. Cause
Got
they're
it.
These like immersive fiction stories. And they are very, very well illustrated and articulated. Mm. And he just gets really immersed in those environments. So
that's great. Yeah, awesome. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah, keep going.
Oh, yeah. So I was telling you about my daughter. My daughter, Amelie, she's the boss of the house. She runs this whole place. and as a girl dad, I think you probably know she's about sassy, spunky boss ladies. And she is that. So she tells all of us what we should be doing, feeling, eating, saying all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like Lily, my oldest. She's like, we call her the little manager. She manages the whole house and then all the neighbors and whoever she hangs out with. She always like takes on this like management role where she's like dictating everything.
It's so funny, right? It's so funny. They're like born with that personality. And people always ask me, is that like, where does that come from? Is that your husband or you? I'm like, no, I don't. I think it's just her.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. I'm actually curious too, because when people ask us that, I think we both kind of look at me, but I feel like I'm not like that either, but I don't know. Yeah.
I'll have to ask your sister if that's true.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like my sister's more like that than I am. I think Julie's more of a boss lady. Yeah.
She's definitely a boss lady. Maybe that's where it comes from.
It's like funneling through. That's right. Through osmosis here.
Yeah.
That's very good. And then I know we jumped right away from that initial catch-up conversation, but so I have to go back to it because now I'm just like dying of curiosity. It's like stuck in the back of my head. So I did get your drink right because we met when I worked at Starbucks and you were a customer. And that's when we first met. And then we met again through my sister because you had worked with my sister at LinkedIn. Yeah. And so that was really funny to reconnect that way. So you switched your drink. Now that's the thing that I want to know. What did you switch it to? Because now I gotta like scratch that itch that's in my brain.
Wait, but hold on. We have to rewind to how I knew you were Julie's brother because I walked over to Julie's cube at Yahoo when we worked at Yahoo, not even LinkedIn. So this was like two jobs ago. When we worked at Yahoo, walked over to her cube, and she had a page ripped out of a magazine, and your face was on it because you were the star of a Starbucks ad campaign. And I was like, "Wait, I know this guy. He's my barista at Starbucks. Like, how do you know, Young?" And Julie said, "That's my brother." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, now I see the resemblance."
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Amazing. And I love that. I love that you were the star of the Starbucks ad campaign.
Yeah, that was a really fun experience for sure. And that is really funny that that's how we got the connection because we never would have known each other.
Because I never would have known.
Yeah, yeah.
I never would have made that connection. Okay, so now my drink at Starbucks is a 2-pump vanilla latte grande.
Oh, so you got a little less sweet. A little more sophisticated, I see. You've grown up a little bit.
That's what happens when you enter your 40s.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no more caramel in the diet anymore.
That's right. And a few less pumps, right? So now you're kind of like, you're a little more sophisticated, I guess.
Exactly. Although I will say my husband, since we met, has given me a really hard time about how much sugar are in my coffee drinks. Like, I used to drink those cold Starbucks Frappuccinos in the bottle.
Yeah.
And he would look at they're amazing. And he looked at the sugar content and he was like, I can't believe you're drinking this much sugar in the morning. So after years of that haranguing, I decided to cut down on my sugar.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's probably a good idea. I mean, those things like really help you juice up for like a little bit, and then it gives you that crash, you know, that like total crash. And so I can't stop though. I love coffee. Like, I just love coffee so much. I love the flavor. Too. I love the ritual. I love the everything about it. It's just so good.
I know.
Awesome. Yeah. So I this is like really fun for me because I know we've talked very, very cosmetically or superficially or kind of at top level, because it's always been like, oh, what kind of coffee do you want? And then through my sister, through LinkedIn, but I'm actually really curious to learn more about you. And so do you mind if I ask you what your childhood was like?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Southern California. I am the daughter of 2 immigrant parents. So my dad is actually a refugee from Vietnam. And then my mom is from Hong Kong. And they met in the States. They met in California at an Arby's of all places.
Wow.
my grandfather owned a chain of fast food restaurants. Arby's was one of them. And my mom worked at Arby's. My dad visited Arby's. So that's how they met. So very American love story, I guess. And so I grew up in Southern California with the 2 of them as my parents. And I think, the first thing that I think I've learned from them is just the importance of family. So they were the first in their families to move to the U.S. and to make a life for themselves in the U.S. And so much of my childhood, I remember them working really, really hard to help their families back in Hong Kong and Vietnam, and eventually to sponsor their immigration here to the States. And so I think that's my first memory and first value I've learned from them. It's just the importance of family and bringing people all together. So I ended up growing up surrounded by my cousins because my parents were successful in bringing them to the States. So my mom had 5 brothers and sisters, and each of them had 2 or 3 kids. So I have a lot of cousins on that side of the house. My dad had 2 younger brothers and kids of their own. And so they also moved to the States. And so I grew up with a pretty big community of family. I think as I watched my parents and their careers, my mom reinvented her career many, many times over. So my mom eventually became the primary breadwinner in our family. So she started out as an accountant working for soda companies and for the government. And then her night job was doing taxes at H&R Block. And eventually she turned that into a business, became an insurance broker, became a mortgage broker. She just kept reinventing her career. And so I think through my mom, I really learned that your career doesn't have to be one thing that you do for your entire lifetime. Like, you can really learn and grow like well into your 50s and 60s. Like, she's still working and still gets a lot of energy from that. And then for my dad, you know, he was one of the hardest workers and most resilient people that I know. I mean, being a refugee, I think, and someone who has survived through all those trials, I think just you have to be incredibly resilient and have a lot of grit. So he worked for the same company for 30 years, and he was always instilling in us the importance of loyalty and of hard work. And so learned a ton from both of them, and certainly from the aunts and uncles that I had the privilege of spending a lot of time around.
That's amazing. Wait, so then you had 2 types of career paths to look off of and gain mentorship from. And so are you implementing a hybrid model of that by doing like 5-year stints and 10-year stints? Like, What are you taking from that?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny. My brothers, I have two younger brothers, have both gone the entrepreneurial route. So they followed my mom. My mom and has started so many businesses. And has worked for herself for as long as we know, like after leaving the soda companies and the government, throughout most of our working lives, she was an entrepreneur. Yeah. And my brothers are similar. So they've both, you know, been the leaders at startups. They are now starting their own startup together. It's really cool. Whereas I think I crave more stability. So I've been working in the corporate America my entire career, and I like having, an office that I go to, people that I got to see every day, and sort of that stable contingent of folks. And I liked being able to be entrepreneurial within an organization and to build within an organization, but have the stability of the paycheck and the benefits and all that goodness. So I think it's a bit of a hybrid of both, but I might be more on my dad's side from like staying at companies for longer.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just, it's really interesting that you got to see both. And it's really interesting because I think most people see one parent is one or the other. And so they like see that side. And then the other thing too, is when I talk to other guests, now that I've been doing this this is my second year doing this, I have a lot more reference. I've also noticed that, they talk about the pros of those things, but you're able to pick out not only the pros, but the cons because you got to see both, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And then just out of curiosity, can you share what your brothers are starting? I'd love to know.
Yeah. So they have a company called Paperclip, and it is a financial software for small to medium sized businesses. That's as much as I know about their startup.
That's awesome. Can I ask why? I feel like there's a double click there. Like, what's going on? Do they just not like talking about it to their older sister?
They're just in the early stages of figuring out what this thing is. So I think they had they had an idea and a business plan, and they are testing the waters in the market and having to pivot. So that's why I think they're trying to figure out what the right next step is for their business.
So, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. But it's interesting because my youngest brother, his previous job was as a CTO of a mental health company. So he actually entered the mental health space before I did about two years ago. Yeah. So he was out in New York leading technology at a company called Headway. Yeah. And so when I started exploring the mental health space, I was reaching out to him to get more insight there.
Oh, that's awesome. Sounds like you guys are really close, able to talk about kind of like job searching and finding yourself and getting advice from each other.
We are. My brothers and I are really close. In fact, that's why my husband would like to have a third child. That is off the table. But he sees how close my brothers and I are, and he's like, it would be great to have three kids. I'm hopeful, you know, that I think my parents modeled this for us. Like my parents are really close to their siblings, and so for me that is just how we operate. And so my brothers are both living in the Bay Area now temporarily, so we are trying to get together every weekend while they're here and near me.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very cool. I think we share that same sentiment as well, too. We're a pretty close sibling group as well. I think sometimes a little too close.
And there's four of you, right?
Yeah. So there's enough of us that we're close, but we also have cliques. And me and my brother hang out really well together. And Nancy and Julie hang out really well together. And then I think I get along with Julie pretty well, but for different reasons, you know? And So yeah, it's fun. I like having a lot of kids. I actually wanted more, but the same thing. Amy's like, absolutely not. So,
This is where I wish like both the man and the woman could have children. Then you could just split the baby. You have two, she has two. It'd be more fair.
That's right. I would love that. So I think we're good with the two and done as well too. And I'm happy with it. Right. I just like grew up in a big family similar to yours. And, you know, both of my parents had big families. And so we grew up with a lot of cousins and it was just really fun to be in a big space like that with a ton of people. But two's great. I mean, It's awesome. I love my girls and I love being a girl dad. have you talked to your, I guess your oldest and even your youngest, actually, have you talked to them about what you do for a living?
I have.
You have?
So
cool.
A little bit. So our vision for the company at Headspace is a world where everyone is kind to their mind. So that is a vision that when you say it out loud, even the child can understand.
Yeah.
And so they really love what I do. They don't totally understand what I do, but I think I bring home things like notebooks that have smiley faces on them.
Oh, yeah.
I have stickers on my laptop that say joy. And so I think they connect to this idea of being kind to yourself. And it's something we talk about a lot. It's also something we practice, like when they're upset or we're trying to calm them down for bed, we do a lot of deep breathing exercises together. And the Headspace app definitely helps with that.
That's awesome. And then when you think about your kids and kind of your journey, what are your expectations for them as it relates to like going down the corporate route or being an entrepreneur?
Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting. My husband's also an entrepreneur.
Oh, really?
So I'm like the only...
Surrounded by him.
I'm surrounded by them. I'm the only corporate person. Me and my dad.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So my husband's an attorney, but he started his own practice a couple of years ago, and he has definitely found his calling and loves what he does. So I think my kids will grow up like I did, seeing... someone corporate and then seeing a parent who started their own business, and each has its own stresses, I think. I think the biggest thing I have learned about parenting is I'll share like the advice that I heard from somebody that has inspired this learning. The advice I heard from somebody, I can't even remember who it was, but we were potty training our first. And someone said, well, they're not going to go to college in diapers. And that, I think, has been my mantra for everything with the kids, which is like, you know, I think when I first had kids and you go to the pediatrician, they give you that like developmental milestone checklist. And if you give me a checklist, I'm like, I got to check everything off that checklist. Like, that's just the way I'm wired. And I realize, and so I would get really anxious.
Those are the worst. Because they even give you like timestamp. They're like, oh, in 3 to 6 months, they should be doing these. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yes. And I think in the beginning, I don't know, I just thought if the doctor is giving me this, like those are the expectations.
That's
and
right.
I would really be anxious if we couldn't check everything off the list. But I think that's the biggest thing I've learned is you can't raise your child with a checklist. Like they are going to do what they're going to do on their own time. And potty training is an example of that. Like riding a bike was an example of that when, prior to COVID, I really wanted my son to ride a bike and he just like wouldn't like ride a bike without training wheels and with pedals, not the Strider. Cause I was like, no, this would be really fun if we rode our bikes together. And he was like, not into it. He would only do his Strider or only do the training wheels. And then one day, I think it was right when COVID hit, we opened the garage, he grabbed a bike with pedals. And just started riding his bike.
That's awesome.
Just picked it up and went. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess this is how it goes. Like they're just going
to
do what
they want in his time when he wanted to.
In their own time. Exactly.
That's right. It's the constant thing that Amy and I go over too. I mean, like Lily was like just like programmed, right? Like she was like, there was like food types that we did. There was like schedules for everything.
Uh-huh.
There was like, we followed the books
totally
and the research.
First child. Yeah.
Yeah. We literally like followed the books on everything, researched everything. And so we're a lot more lax with grace. Thank God. But I'm usually very, very complimentary to Amy on these podcasts, but this is the one thing that I will say to her like all the time. That's not necessarily complimentary, but I always tell her, I'm like, it's very similar to what you said. They're not going to wear diapers to college, but it's like, it's not going to matter. Like in 10 years, they're not even going to remember this. It's like, she's like, well, what if they're not eating their vegetables right now? All these other kids are starting to eat vegetables. I'm like, they'll eat vegetables. They'll be fine. They're not going to be like 25 years old. Like, oh, I don't eat vegetables. I only eat chicken McNuggets. You know, it's not going to happen. Like, just be okay.
So
calm down. It'll be okay. They'll start eating vegetables when they want to. Like, it's just not something
it's
that's
so
like
true.
Stressing me out, you know, like just let it be.
Let it be. I think that's the good mantra. Let it be.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like I was talking to another friend from the Bay Area who was visiting here. I didn't know that he had family here in Austin. And so he comes out every summer. But so we're now making kind of an annual thing. But I was talking to him about it. And he was just saying, like, it's like the whole concept of like, let it be, right? It's like, cause he has three girls and he was talking about like how, God, what is that? I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it's the same concept. It's the same concept. Yeah. Basically like, that's right. He was going to take them out of school cause he had an opportunity to go international. So his company was going to take him to go international office. And, and he was saying like, I know some of them are in school right now. They're in fifth grade. But I looked at him, I'm like, honestly, though, like if they miss 3 months of school, right? I mean, obviously they're going to go homeschool or international school, or they're going to do some schooling. But even if they got like no school, like, is it really the end of the world to miss 3 months of fourth grade? And you know, I'm like, I really don't know. And he looked at me, he's like, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah. And I'm like, I just look at it and I just go like, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Totally. You know? And the learning that they'll get from living abroad is probably even more than what they would gain at school.
That's a good point. Do you feel like you learn a lot when you travel?
I do. My husband and I, my husband's Dave, we've been talking for years about living abroad and we haven't done it yet. And I really would like to do it at some point soon while the kids are young.
Can he do that?
My husband?
Can he work remote like that with his business?
That's part of the challenge. Mm-hmm. I think he could though. So I continue to work for companies that have offices in like London. So has an office in London. So our CMO, my boss, just did this. So she went to, she spent a week in London for a board meeting. Mm-hmm. And then she then spent 2.5 weeks with her family in Europe. I think they traveled through Italy. So that's not, you know, months and months of time, but it is, you know, more time.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah. I love the idea that you wanted to do that and that's on your bucket list. I mean, I think that... you know, living abroad is really, really an interesting concept and idea, because I think there's like a lot of things that have really triggered me into growing or developing or pivotal moments and things that have really impacted me. And I'd say one of the categories that I feel like is really contributory towards that has been travel. Is like seeing different cultures and societies, you know, even the way they react to a same problem or deal with certain situations. And so that's been really like interesting for me to think about when I reflect about my life and what's impacting me the most. And I'd say that like mentors have been another one. And then obviously experience have been another one, but I'd say travel has also been one of those big categories. And I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like going to these other countries, even traveling domestically. I don't know if you travel to other states here, it feels like going to another country sometimes,
totally.
You know? But like, I feel like that's a huge one. Yeah, exactly. That was a big shock for us when we moved here, for sure. Especially more for Amy than me. I've settled in completely. I'm like all about it. I'm like, I love it. But yeah, Amy's still figuring it out 2 years later.
Where is Amy from?
Amy's from the Bay. So we're both born and raised in the Bay.
You're both from the Bay. And why born did in you Oakland. Move?
She's born in San Jose.
Wow.
Well, we tried doing something a little bit like somewhat unique in the sense that we decided that we wanted one parent at home. Not that that's, it's not one thing or the other. We just, something that we both wanted, even when we were dating, we said we wanted that. And so, it's, you know, this, you know, how expensive it is to live there.
Yeah,
so
you
trying
can't
to do
live
that
in
with...
the Bay Area. Yeah.
So we were making it work, you know, I was working and then we were making it work and then it just was, it didn't feel like we were ever getting, catching up, let alone getting ahead. And I just like, I was just looking at like turning, we're both about to turn 40 and like, we're like, oh crap. Like we had to start thinking about like stuff that's more adulting. Right. And, it came to the realization that we would have to increase our income or cut down our cost. And so, we still wanted to keep one parent at home. It was something that we both valued very early on in our relationship. And so it's not that it's impossible in the Bay Area. It's just very hard. It's just very, very hard. We found it very hard. And so, the big driver for us moving to another part of the country was for cost savings.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. It makes a lot
so
of
that
sense.
That was it. Yeah. And it's been a great move for us. We've been here 2+ years now. And I mean, for us, it's just like, you know, our parenting journey is that, you know, we had to quantify what success looked like for us, right? And what that means to be a good parent for us, not necessarily for what, you know, the world wanted that for us. So that's kind of one of those decision things that we made to do for our family. But are there things like that that you have for your family? Like, how do you quantify success for your family and parenting?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think my husband are constantly having this conversation, sort of calibrating and recalibrating whether we're investing in the right places. So, you know, I have a pretty full and busy full-time job.
That's right.
At work. Yeah. I now lead a team of 40 people, which means I know.
That's a massive marketing team.
Well, that's only half the marketing team. I only lead the enterprise side of the marketing team.
It's
a big marketing team. So I spend a lot of my time building culture, really working with my team and our talent and helping people really uncover their strengths and be able to leverage those to drive results for the business, and do so in a way that is sustainable in their work and their lives. And then, you know, that's the part that I'm personally constantly navigating as well. But I think that's what success looks like to me at work is actually not that dissimilar to what success looks like for me as a parent, right? Like, so much of what I want to do with my kids is really instill the values that are really important to me around family, around work ethic, around kindness and compassion. Like, all of those things are values I want to instill in my kids. And then it's about like helping them uncover their own strengths and help them reach their potential and just crafting that environment there where they're really empowered to fly on their own. And so, you know, I think the debate my husband and I are always having is like, are we spending enough time at home? Are we spending too much time at work? It's never the other way around. Like, we never say, are we spending too little time at work? But I think when I think about, you know, what it is, how I want to parent or how we want to parent as together, it is those things. It's about values. It's about, you know, creating that right environment, surrounding them with the right people, and then letting them figure things out on their own. And if we think about it that way, I think it's less about the time and it's about, are we spending the time that we do have doing those things for them? And I think it never feels perfect, but I think we have the right framework.
Yeah, that's awesome framework. I think that's a beautiful way of looking at it, and I think that's actually absolutely right. I mean, I struggle with that a lot in the sense that I know that that's what I want for my kids, but I struggle with like not trying to control what I want them to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I like struggle with it all the time because I really want them, like, for example, like the secret thing that I want is that like, I want them to be musicians. You know, I want them to literally like, I want them to be musicians, and I don't even want them to go to college. I just want them to be like mega pop stars, right? Like, that's like my secret. Yeah.
Wait, is this because this was your childhood dream? Or...
Probably. I don't know. Like, that I never got to fulfill or something, you know? But I just really like have funny. This desire and dream, and I just try to surround them with instruments and music and, you know, and all those other things. And so I struggle a lot with like not forcing them to do things, but because I really do want to like, you know, like give points them in this direction, you know? Yeah. But the other thing too is it's also like, you also have to give them the choices too, right? So it's like a really delicate balance of like giving them opportunity to try things, but also like, how do they know what they don't know? They don't know that you could take lessons in horse riding, or they don't know that you could take, you know what I mean? Like, totally. There's all these, I didn't even know you could do horse riding lessons until my sister started. I'm like, that's a thing? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, good to know. Like, so how would they know that there's all these opportunities that they can try, you know, if you don't like force them through it? And so it's a constant battle in our house for this, and just fighting for their mind share a little bit.
Yeah. How do you do that? It's the same here. We don't have it figured out. For sure. My husband really wants our son to be a professional soccer player.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know, it's very realistic, just like your dream for your kids.
It is very realistic. I want to meet your husband. I think I'm going to be fast friends with him.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we worked together to like temper how much he's pushing this, because I really want my kids to be well-rounded and for them to explore lots of different passions and activities and really find what they want to do. But at the same time, like to your point, they don't really know what they want to do. And sometimes like they're not passionate about something because they're not good at it, but it doesn't mean they can't become good at it. So
that's right.
I think I read this in the Tiger Mom book. That is what it's called, right? The Hymn of the Tiger Mom or something. I can't remember.
I don't know. I've never even heard of this book. Now I got to go look it up.
What? It's this woman who's a Harvard professor, and she has two girls who she raised with a very Asian tiger mom mentality. And her both girls, I think, ended up going to Harvard and are massively successful. So she wrote this entire book.
Yeah.
One of her pieces of advice, I believe it was her, is you encourage your kids to try something. Like if they say, I really like ballet, to go try ballet, but you ask them to commit to it for at least a year. And that way they don't just try a bunch of things and then quit. They're actually dedicating time to learn it, to get better at it, and then they can decide whether they want to stick with it or not. And so I think that's something I would like to instill in my kids is for them to have some sense of like commitment and grit before they move on to the next thing.
I like it. That's really good. We did that briefly with Taekwondo and Lily, and then I kind of kept pushing her to like do it because the whole thesis is that you have to like ride through the hardships of it, and that's what they're trying to teach in Taekwondo as well too. But she was just so miserable; she hated it so much, and so we just pulled her out. Yeah, and I'm like, it's not worth it. The problem with it was that she was the only girl doing it, and then it was all these like slightly older boys that they lumped the 3 to 6 year olds together. And so there's all these 6 year old boys. Oh. And then when their younger sisters were there, that were the same age as Lily, and they're all waiting on the side playing, you know, like whatever, like girly stuff. And then she's there with their older brothers. Like, it's just like, I think that also made it hard for her at like a 3 or 4 year old age. So hopefully I can bring her back into that because I can't have, you know, my Korean heritage not show some.
Did you do Taekwondo?
So I think all Koreans have to, right? It's like mandatory. Piano and Taekwondo, you know, those are the two things.
This is my childhood piano is right behind me. So my kids do piano.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's like, you know, there's a little bit of that, you know, like I can almost guarantee you like very safely. I can bet that 90% of, you know, Asian Americans play piano, and then I can almost guarantee you that.
Or violin.
Exactly. Or some instrument. And then I'd say like, I very strongly believe that, you know, at least 50% do some sort of martial arts, you know?
And I know. I think now I can't find the time for my kids to do all the things that they are interested in doing. Mostly because I have them in Chinese school 3 days a week.
Wow.
So when I was growing up, I hated Chinese school. I don't know if you did Korean language school, but Chinese school is like the worst.
Yeah.
But then when I got older, I realized like how important it is to know another language and for that language to be connected to your heritage and your roots. And so So when I became an adult, I ended up taking Chinese classes on my own. And I was like, I wish I would have just paid more attention when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So now I'm inflicting that pain on my children because I know that eventually they will be grateful for this.
You hope. Because I'm sure it's the same way. Yeah. We didn't do Korean school, but Julie and I were traveling to Korea quite a bit when we were younger. Our summer breaks, we would spend 2 to 3 months in Korea and then a month during winter break. And so we hardly did any breaks in the States. And so we did mostly in Korea. And so her Korean is really good. And then mine's decent. But we spoke it a lot growing up. We're kind of like, it's easier to learn when you're younger. You just don't know there's like a difference, right? So just pick it up. But I will say what's really unique is that I didn't know that it was special, but because I learned two languages at the same time growing up, I seemed... I don't know. I guess it's just my personal belief that I believe that I learn languages faster than my peers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that were true.
Yeah. So I don't know. So there's something there. So I think there's something about muscling them through that. But Yes, we are sending Lily and Grace to Korean school. Not as rigorously as you, but like once a week we do a program, and they'll speak Korean.
Ours is like an after school program that's at the school, so the teachers will come and pick them up, and they just stay there after school for a couple hours.
That's awesome.
It is great, but my kids are usually my son. He's pretty easygoing, and usually he'll do anything that we ask him to do. That's without awesome. Complaint,
yeah.
Except for Chinese school. That's yeah. the one thing where he's like, can I like not go to Chinese school? That he never asks about anything else yeah. except for Chinese school.
Oh, man, that's a bummer. I will say, I don't really care too much about the Korean part. It's really funny. I'm not as big as Amy is on it. She's really into, like, making sure they speak Korean, and so is my yeah. parents. Obviously, my parents love yeah. them yeah. speaking Korean, but I don't really care. I don't think my dad actually cares either. It's just mostly my mom and Amy. They're the only ones that really seem to care if they learn Korean or not, which is kind of funny. But I don't know.
It must be a mom thing. Maybe. Well, do you speak Korean at home?
My parents only speak to us in Korean.
Oh, they only speak to you
yeah,
in Korean.
Yeah. So my dad speaks pretty good English, but yeah. he only speaks to us in Korean. Yeah. And so it's yeah. just been the way that we've been brought up. So
yeah.
we've always had to speak Korean to yeah. survive, let alone live in the house, because there was no other language that was spoken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, do you speak Korean to your girls?
I do not. No.
No.
No. No. No. I just don't feel the need. I don't feel the need. I mean, I'm like, when are they gonna do business with Korean people? I mean, when they're pop stars, they'll be able to speak English in Korea. You know, they'll be fine.
I know, but if they're Korean pop stars, they're gonna have to learn how to speak Korean.
I might have a better angle with the Korean pop star thing. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, all right, you talk me into it. I'm gonna start teaching them Korean. I'm gonna start talking to Korean.
Your mom will thank me.
Yeah, exactly. I think Amy, all the moms will thank you. Yeah, my family. Yeah. Okay, Connie, let me ask you some rapid fire questions I like to ask all my guests. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what advice do you have for other parents and soon to be parents?
Let it be. I just learned that line. Let it be.
I like it. Very good. And then, if you can go back and tell yourself one thing before having kids, what would you tell yourself?
Sleep more.
Yes, that is the truth. I love it. What is the most surprising thing that you learned about yourself after you became a parent?
How much I am like my parents.
Oh, wow. Which one? Both?
I think both, in all the good ways and the bad.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Are you actively noticing that, or are you actively trying to like stop yourself from doing that? What's the gist here?
I think I have a newfound appreciation for what my parents went through in raising three children in a different country. And then there are habits and expectations that I think I have of my kids, or like tones that I use with my kids that I'm like, oh, I sound like my mother. So there are certainly things that that are positive, like that newfound appreciation.
Yeah.
But there are things where I'm like, I never wanted to sound like my mother, and now I sound like my mother.
So funny. Okay, got it. Okay, very good. All right, and then so to move gears a little bit, what's your favorite business book?
Oh, my favorite business book. I'm not a favorites kind of person, mm-hmm. so I'm just going to share something I read recently that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's great.
Beth Comstock, the CMO and Chief Innovation Officer of GE, I should say former CMO and Chief Innovation Officer at GE, she wrote a book called Imagine It Forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this book about being a woman in a male-dominated society, organization, being able to drive transformational change in that kind of environment in a company that is 100 years old.
Yeah.
And being able to really create a future that didn't exist. And so I love stories about underdogs. I love stories about reinvention. And I love when people are able to inspire groups of people together to drive the future. And mm-hmm. so it's that book is like all of those ingredients. Her entire career is just so inspiring.
That's awesome.
So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'll have to add it to my list. I've never heard of it. Yeah, that's fantastic. And then finally, to bring us home, when you're not being a supermarketer at Headspace or a super mom at home, what do you do for fun? What's your downtime stuff?
My downtime stuff. I do read a lot of books. So I read a ton on audio, mostly. So I think I'm on like my 35th book of this year.
Oh, wow.
I mostly read very trashy books. So anything that is in like Reese Witherspoon's book club, like that's all me.
I love
murder mysteries. So I do a lot of that. And then I do a lot of yoga and exercise. So that's something I try to do every day. It takes some time to do
that's
something
awesome.
For myself, which is usually a physical activity.
Very good. I love it. Connie, thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show today. I had a wonderful time. I hope you did as well.
Oh, it was so fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Young. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to The Girl Dad Show. Please take a moment to follow us on social media. You can find us at The Girl Dad Show on all major platforms. We look forward to staying in touch and keeping you up to date with all the new guests that are coming out.